Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now joining us is Mike Triplett, our ESPN NFL Nation, a man of great patience as we talk about the Bengals.
He's very patient. He puts up with me.
And we're gonna bring him in.
Did I step into like Bobby theorizing why the Bengals will trade Joe Burrow to the Saints? Is
that what I no, it was just we had some Bengals fans at text that said they feel sorry for Burrow if he goes there to play behind that line. But a lot of fans were talking about how possibly they could get Joe Burrow. But looking at this Saints team moving into next season, Mike, we got a lot of free agents out there, a lot of people that they need to deal with, and obviously some of the better known unrestricted free agents, Drew Brees, Von Bell, Andres Pete, AJ Klein, David Onyemata. What are you hearing, and what do you think happens with those free agents?
Not to mention Teddy Bridgewater
and Taysom Hill.
And look, I wrote just about this today. I broke down all the financial decisions they have. I said it's going to be a pretty fascinating financial offseason because I also think we could see an Alvin Kamara holdout this offseason.
Wow.
We could potentially see a Marshawn Lattimore holdout. They need to decide whether to pay Janoris Jenkins the $11.25 million he's due or bring back Eli Apple. So they've got a lot of serious decisions to make this offseason, starting with the fact that no QBs are currently under contract. Now, that's sort of the daunting way of putting it. I mean, if Drew Brees wants to keep playing, he's coming back. If nobody else offers Teddy Bridgewater a legitimate starting job, I think he'll come back just like he did last year. Taysom Hill is a restricted free agent,
right,
so he'll definitely come back. They get to choose between Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple at corner. They get to choose between Andres Pete and Nick Easton at guard. I actually think the most daunting of all those decisions is Kamara, because if he does hold out and force them into a decision and says he wants to make top running back money like Le'Veon Bell at $13 million or Ezekiel Elliott at $15 million, I think that's an impossible choice for any team with a mm-hmm. star running back. So they've got tough choices to make, but I do think the good thing is they don't have to go out and rebuild this team and add three new $10 million free agents to become a winner. And we know they know how to manipulate the cap. So I expect their offseason to look like everyone has in recent years, which is re-sign the players you have to re-sign and add one or two key pieces like a Jared Cook last year.
Now, Mike, I mean, that caught my attention. I guess you got to get it while you can because you're running back and you get beat up. Now, if Alvin Kamara had the kind of season like Christian McCaffrey had, mm-hmm. whoa, I would say he has leverage.
Or even a season he had 2 years ago or
yeah,
a year ago.
But right now, I think the Saints are just going to stay put because hopefully Alvin Kamara honors that contract, and they will see what he does next year and then reward him beyond that. But to pay him now, I just don't see that happening. Is that?
Well, I mean, it is the nature of the position. I mean, Dalvin Cook, who's a fellow second rounder, I think we're going to see the same with him. Christian McCaffrey actually has 2 years left on his deal, but I bet we see the same with him. I mean, it's just the unfortunate thing about the running back position. Yeah, I mean, the Saints' only hope would be that Alvin Kamara might think, you know what, I'm going to go and have an even better season and
right.
then become an unrestricted free agent and be worth even more. But it's hard to say. I mean, you know, what does he do as a fourth-year guy on a rookie deal? He's probably due to make like $1 million. We saw Michael Thomas in the exact same position last year as a second-round pick in the final year of his deal, and he
right.
held out. But obviously became the highest paid receiver of all time. I don't think Alvin Kamara is going to say, you have to make me the highest paid running back in the NFL or I'll hold out. Mm-hmm. But he's due for an extension this year. He's heading into the final year of his deal. A lot of guys get extensions heading into the final year of his deal, running backs especially.
But is that Ezekiel Elliott money? I'm thinking about the Rams. I mean, come on, the Rams. I think the Cowgirls overpaid for Ezekiel Elliott, and the Rams, that was not good decisions. I mean, I don't know. That's just my opinion, but
I agree, but it, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because
right.
what are we talking about with the Saints? That they need more offensive playmakers. Losing a guy who's had over 80 catches a year in all three seasons and 1,500 yards per year in all three seasons, he's a guy they probably can't afford to pay that much money. He's definitely a guy they can't afford to lose, though.
Well, I look at Latavius Murray. When Alvin Kamara was out, he averaged 153 yards from scrimmage. I know it's a limited sample size, but I wish Sean Payton would have given him the ball more against his old team, because I think from a human standpoint, psychological standpoint, that always motivates a player.
Well, he was running. Yeah, he was running angry. He was getting more yards per carry than Alvin.
No, I wish they would have given him a double-digit, 12 carries, whatever. But, you know, Tripp, when you brought up, to me this makes sense, Janoris Jenkins. Okay, I look at Jack Rabbit. He turned 31 in October. And what they got to pay him, $11 million or something?
$11.25. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
To me, you got to extend him. You got, okay, what are you talking about? He's 31. He's going to be 32 years of age. I look at production. Let me tell you why I bring that up, Tripp. And then I look at, like, playmakers. Aren't we always trying to get guys that can intercept the football and playmakers? I look at Jack Rabbit. There was only two cornerbacks that had more interceptions than him. You know who it was? Stephon Gilmore with the Patriots, first team All-Pro. Jerdavious White with the Buffalo Bills. They had six. He was fourth. Fourth in the NFL with interceptions. He barely practiced. He got an interception to close out the season. So I'm telling you, Eli Apple? No, we want Eli Apple at our price, not his price.
Right.
But Jack Rabbit, I like his swag. I like his swagger that he is a football player. And I'm telling you, I think the Saints know that. He could create turnovers or put himself in the position to succeed. Okay, I think he just got to the team. Why were the Vikings throwing at Lattimore instead of Jack Rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might have been one of Lattimore's poorest games. He's been a shutdown corner on top of the mountain or down in the valley. Then they complete five or six passes against him. That is mind-boggling to me, considering Lattimore. I don't know if he's like lackadaisical at times. He loses interest. But I look at that game and who they were going after. I mean, explain that to me, Tripp. Explain that to me.
It was one of many big surprises in that game. I mean, basically, if you were going to write down who you think the five or six best players on the Saints are, I think all five or six of them had disappointing performances against the Vikings,
right.
and Lattimore was one of them. Yeah, look, Jenkins, he obviously came with some character concerns or some locker room fit concerns after, you know, a few incidents in New York, and obviously the Giants cut him for an off-field incident, and that's why he was available. If the Saints feel comfortable with all that stuff, $11 million is a bargain for the talent, no doubt about it.
Mike, what do you get about, or how's your feeling, I guess, how's it going to affect the team with Zach Lyon retiring?
Well, he was supposed to be an unrestricted free agent as well, and I think they probably would have re-signed him at the right price. I think he was a good, very good, solid guy, and a big part of, especially in 2017 and 2018, those 2 years with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, they were top six rushing offense in both of those years, and he was an underrated part of it. So I think you need to go out there and find another Zach Lyon type. The good news is the NFL doesn't value those guys very much, and
right.
you can find them just the way you found him.
So it's not as big a hit.
They found John Kuhn before him.
Yeah.
But that's not to diminish anything he did. I thought he was a very good player.
Not to diminish what he played, but it's not as a big a hit as when Max Unger decided to retire out of the blue.
Sure, exactly. You can find a good replacement for cheaper because a lot of teams don't even use fullbacks. But
right.
that doesn't mean you're going to find the right one. I mean, if you go too cheap, you're not going to find a guy who plays as well as Zach Lyon, that's for sure.
Now, Tripp, boy, talk about this is an understatement, a fan favorite, Taysom Hill. And what have you done for him lately? I mean, I don't even know what's his position. Obviously, his agent and himself wants to be considered a quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, running back, kickoff, punt coverage, whatever, kick returner. You can go on and on. Swiss Army knife.
He almost became receiver number one at the end of the season.
Right. So when I look at that, how did the Saints handle this? It's restricted. He's a restricted free agent. So what do you think the value is? Do they tend to hammer as a first-round level and you pay $4.6 million a season or what?
It's either first or second. That's the choice. First is you're right. I think the projection is $4.6 million. And that would mean if another team signed him, the Saints could match whatever they sign him to. But if the Saints don't match, then they'd get a first-round pick back. It's basically like the franchise tag if they pay $4.6 million. If they pay $3.2 million, then same thing we just said, only they'd get a second-round pick back. And that is a little dicey. I think a second-round tender would be safe. I don't know that another team would sign him to a deal that is so big that the Saints wouldn't match it and give up a second-round pick for him. I feel like a team would have to make him their starting quarterback to be willing to give up that much, but it's not out of the question. And I mean, he could be Josh Allen if a team really wanted to commit to him. If not Lamar Jackson, you know, some people were wondering, what if somebody hired Greg Roman as their head coach and he wanted Taysom Hill? I mean, shoot, the Panthers are looking for a quarterback and they just hired Joe Brady. He knows what Taysom Hill's all about.
Right.
So they might have to go first round tender just to be safe, and they might do it just as a reward. I mean, the guy deserves to be paid. If they pay an extra million to make him happy, because they're going to be courting him as an unrestricted free agent next year. But no matter what, you can't let him out the building.
Now, yeah, exactly, Mike. The fans would go ballistic. It's like, what? We let Taysom Hill go. We love him.
He's getting the most votes on our poll online.
No, the Who Dat Nation loves Taysom Hill, rightfully so.
I've been fighting with fans on Twitter who are giving Drew Brees too much flack and too much garbage now. And, right. You know, he makes too much money. He's terrible now. Like, come on, give me a break. But in a non-Drew Brees world, I am not opposed. I mean, I at least want to – this is what I joked once. Watch a season on Netflix of Sean Payton building his offense around Taysom Hill. I would love to know what it looks like, man.
Without a doubt. Now, Tripp, we're talking about different positions. I'm looking at the safety position. I would say Marcus Williams has been a disappointment. And what I mean by that, going back to the Minneapolis Miracle, he can't freaking tackle. The bottom line is the receiver, they put him at DB. He has ball skills. And he's made plays in a ball. I can tell you the Vikings game, even though you might think that P. Rob got beat, that wasn't that bad of coverage. Come on, you're over the top. You got to help out. Then I look at the Texans game, the first game. I read Sean Payton's lips. Come on, dude, you can't fall down. Man, how about make the tackle? You can't give a big play. So, listen, I'm nothing against Marcus Williams. I think he can play in the NFL. He does not tackle well enough. So I think they will pay Von Bell over Marcus Williams. Would you agree with that or what?
Well, they don't have that choice to make, though. Marcus Williams is cheap this year. Von Bell is going to be expensive. And the other thing is C.J. Gardner-Johnson plays Bell's position. He doesn't play Williams' position. Williams is the only free safety of the three. Bell and Gardner-Johnson are strong safeties who play closer to the line of scrimmage. So, first of all, Williams isn't going anywhere this year. He's on his rookie deal, no question. Next year, he's due to be a free agent. It'll be a big question. But Bell is interesting because I agree with you. I think Bell has been a big asset. I would list him as of all the free agents, I would list him and David Onyemata as the two guys with the arrows pointing up. I think both Bell and David Onyemata would be really hard to replace. I think the Saints value both of them. And I don't think their prices will skyrocket on the open market because the Saints probably value them more than other teams because they don't have gaudy statistics. Bell doesn't have many interceptions. Onyemata doesn't have too many sacks. The only thing that gives me pause, though, is Gardner-Johnson had a great rookie year. He plays Bell's position. Shy Tuttle had a good rookie year. He could replace Onyemata. So they do have cheap replacements for those guys, so I think it'll come down to price. I think they'll want Bell and Onyemata back, but if the price gets outrageous, they might lose them.
Now, Tripp, do you think, and I made this statement in the post game, maybe I was just talking out of passion or maybe just frustration, that when I look at that Vikings game, I'd have to say that, you know, when you want all hands on deck and who's in the rotation, that we miss Sheldon Rankins and Davenport in that type of game. And, you know, whoever's participating, right? I mean, come on.
Of course. I mean, Of course, that's a no-brainer. That was the strength of their team, that defensive line, I think, for the first 3 months of the season. They're both huge losses. Now, I would say, if you told me I had to pick between Onyemata and Rankins, it's more of a question mark than I ever would have thought before. But if you can give me both, I want both. Rankins was phenomenal last year. I thought he should have gone to the Pro Bowl last year.
We got a text here that says we got to keep Bell in all caps. Mike, so someone obviously likes Bell.
Oh, I have a question for Tripp.
Okay.
Boy, you never know. Look at Malcolm Jenkins, how he progressed in the Eagles uniform. I'm watching last week Kenny Vaccaro.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, that interception he had, I'm like, what? What? No, Tripp, come on.
Last week, Kenny Vaccaro beat the Patriots. Derrick Henry beat the Patriots, but Kenny Vaccaro was number two in that game.
Whoa.
Vaccaro had the game of his life against the Patriots, man.
Boy, I'm looking at, like, Kenny, listen, players, you never know how they're going to develop. You don't want to give up too soon on a player, but that's why you got to give general manager a lot of credit. Tripp, you know this, pay the right people. And listen, we gave up on Darren Sproles too soon. You know that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. It's funny that you say that, because this goes back to what you were just saying about Marcus Williams. I'm not ready to give up on Marcus Williams next.
Okay.
He's a next year decision, but the talent is undeniable. The tackling is a huge flaw. He has not figured out a tackle.
Right.
Field. But you can rattle off the six times you thought Marcus Williams made a bad play. It's when you're not noticing him that means he's doing his job. I mean, when they sack Matt Ryan nine times on Thanksgiving, you know why they're sacking Matt Ryan nine times?
He's doing his job.
Because nobody's open, because Marcus Williams is doing his job. When they're beating the Cowboys 12-10 and the Jaguars 13-6, it's because the free safety's not giving up any plays to DJ Chark or Amari Cooper. So I think people give him too much crap, but when he screws up, it's sort of the nature of the position. When you play deep center field, everyone notices when you screw up.
Exactly.
But he's a guy who I could see, if they let him go next year, he makes a Pro Bowl with another team. The talent is definitely there with Marcus Williams.
All right, that's Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation. Mike, thanks for taking time with us here on WWL Sports Talk.
Thanks, Tripp.
All right, thank you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.